Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamualaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome once again to this week's edition of the Elevated Places program right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Brother Jamil. I'm going to be your guest host this evening, and we have a very exciting program for you tonight. So we begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We bear witness that there is no God but He, who came to us in the person of Master Farid Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. We bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is his servant and the eternal leader of the nation of Islam. We thank Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad who lives, and we thank Allah for his national representative, our beloved brother, who taught us of Mr. Muhammad and taught us the teachings of Islam, and made of us Muslims by Allah's grace, and we have not even finished our course. I speak of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I greet you, my dear beloved brothers, in their names with the greetings of peace and paradise of Assalamu Alaikum. Now, you know this program, historically and to this minute, has always been identified and affiliated with our sister, student minister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. I just want to say a word about Dr. Ava, our sister who is no longer with us physically, but the pervasiveness and extensive nature of her work goes on. Her work is alive every time we gather in a circle to study the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad according to the direction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Her work is alive every time we open the provisional constitution of the Nation of Islam to settle a dispute or to advance the cause of our nation according to the government of our nation. Her work is alive every time we think of and militate and mitigate and work for separation, the real solution to the problem of the so-called American Negro and the problem between the races in America. Her work is alive every time you see the shining eyes of her children and grandchildren and the towering dignity of her husband, my dear brother, Brother Darius Muhammad. It was Brother Darius who reached out for me to be with you tonight, and I am grateful for the opportunity. So let's get started. We've got a very special program for you tonight. But first, I want to hear a brief news roundup from my Final Call national correspondent all the way from Los Angeles, California. You've read her work. You know her work. You've heard her on KPFK in Los Angeles and all around the world. This is our sister, Charlene Muhammad. Sister Charlene.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jamil. Thank you so much for a beautiful covering and a beautiful upliftment of Minister Ava. How are you?
Well, if I was any better, sister, they'd arrest me for conspiracy. I'm feeling good. I feel like I'm
wonderful.
Two or three people all great.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. You sound that way. Well, I'll get right to it. Peace and blessings. I'm Sister Charlene Muhammad. Tonight in the news and elevated places, Brother Jamil, I have to tell you, this week I saw that cover and I said, oh boy, it's greatly dedicated to black women and girls. Right out of the bold, black, and beautiful Final Call newspaper is what we seek by contributing writer Sister Anissa Muhammad. She details how black women and girls who kill their abusers in self-defense face prison. They don't get empathy and protection. And this shows once again just how unbalanced America is and unequal in her application of the law. So, for example, Sister Anissa writes about Ashley Griffin, who was a few weeks pregnant with her second child. There was a domestic violence incident that occurred. She fired two shots at her boyfriend, who was Brandon McCray, at their home in Georgia. That was June 5th, 2020. Now, her friends and family and her supporters say she killed her abuser. The court of law found her and saw her guilty in February of one count of aggravated assault and one count of possession of a firearm during the commission of a crime. He was charged with aggravated assault, get this, for beating her while she was pregnant with their first child. Quote, at the time, he choked, strangled, and then kicked Griffin in the stomach. This is from the entity that reported at that time. The sister is being incarcerated and she's seeking a new trial. But her mother, Tina Griffin, has started a GoFundMe page, and this is what she has said. Now the state of Georgia wants to add my daughter's name to the long list of women who went from being abused in the home to being abused and imprisoned by our justice system just for defending themselves. This is Tina Griffin. Again, she says, why do stand your ground laws only seem to apply to certain men in this country? Meanwhile, women like my daughter are not allowed to defend themselves even when violently attacked. In conclusion, we want to lift up the guidance and instructions from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because the story of Ashlyn Griffin is not an anomaly. Sister Anissa writes that black women and girls all over the country are fighting for their lives in the court system, killing their abusers. And too often, victims of domestic abuse and sex trafficking are criminalized and penalized when they take matters into their own hands. Lastly, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam has always instructed black women and girls to fight back against abuse. Quote, we don't like to see men abusing women, unquote, the minister has stated in a message entitled Save Our Girls, A Nation Can Rise No Higher Than Its Women. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us a law that no man strikes his wife. How are you going to beat the woman that produces your future? Men should be ashamed to abuse women, but most men who beat and bruise women yet want sex with them the same night they beat them. Men want to beat women like they are inanimate objects, like trees or a lamppost that a dog will lift its leg to, like women do not have feelings, unquote. The minister stated that in another message entitled Abuse of the Female. He asked, quote, do you think after you beat up a woman that she really wants to give herself to you? Why would you want to take pleasure from someone to whom you have given so much pain? Unquote. In keeping with tonight's theme, In the News invites you to read, in addition to the entire Final Call, as our beloved student minister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, always encouraged, read this article. Read Memphis-based author, student minister in the Nation of Islam, and member of the Nation of Islam Research Group, Demetric Muhammad's guest column entitled Kyrie Irving, and The Dangerous Knowledge of Self. And for God's sake, read the special COVID-19 section, The Depopulation Agenda by the U.S. Government. Thank you, Brother Jamil. Thank you, Elevated Places. For In the News, I'm Sister Charlene Muhammad.
Wow, you really are. And you handled that report tonight. Thank you for that roundup. Stay with us, Sister Charlene. Don't go anywhere, because I'm sure that in the course of tonight's dialogue, our callers will want to engage you. Callers, you say?
Okay.
Yes. Callers, yes, indeed. And I want to tell folks how you can call tonight. In just a moment, I'm going to give the number. But I want to thank you, Sister, for that comprehensive report, especially as it focused on violence against women and girls. And I know that violence against women and girls is not a general thing. It takes the shape of the person who is being violent. Sometimes it's a pimp in the sex worker trade. Sometimes it's law enforcement officers, as we see in Kansas City and the nefarious, evil activities of the Kansas City Police Department. And they are coercing black women and girls ages 13 to 17 into sex trafficking rings, never to be seen by their families again. We know sometimes that evil takes the form of abuse of vulnerable black men, like the Milwaukee Police Department, now cruising the streets of that city, targeting single, alone black men and raping them, thus demoralizing them and sending them into a community dysfunctional and out of their minds. This is the system in which we live. Don't always think of it as some black person, because sometimes it is, but often it's a sheriff like the one in Beaufort County, North Carolina, in 1974, who attempted to abuse our sister, Joanne Little. Joanne Little, and you'll hear more about her from our principal guest tonight, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad of Muhammad Farms. Yes, we've got the all-star lineup for you, so yes, Dr. Ridgely is here in person. But Joanne Little, her attacker appeared in her cell block. They arrested her on some petty crime, and he appears in the cell block, naked from the waist down, attempting to force himself on the sister, but at the end of their encounter, he lay dead on the floor from a wound with an ice pick to the temple. All praise is due to Allah. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, if you rape, you die. If you attempt to steal or to subvert the virtue of a black woman today, you may end up in a coffin or worse, somewhere without one. So today we come and thank you for your report, Sister Charlene, because that's the idea that keeps us dedicated to do what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, elevate, protect, respect, and even if necessary, righteously control the black woman. That's what we have to do as black men. That's our responsibility, our sisters. Whew. We're off to a good start tonight. Thank you, Sister Charlene. And I want to thank the staff, the tech staff of the program. You don't often hear them on the air, but without people like Sister Donna in Memphis, none of this would be possible. Without our dear brother Darius and his approval and guidance from Chicago, none of this would be possible. So we thank Allah for all of you as we delve right in. Let's get started. I want to encourage you to call in with your questions and comments right now tonight. Don't fail to call in. Get near the phone. Write down this number. You ready? It's 563-999-3065. Then press 1, and you'll hear the lady with the vaguely British accent say, you're now in the host's queue. When you enter the queue, you can then be prepared to speak with the man that I want to introduce to you right now. There's a lot going on in the news, and this is our brother. See, we're not going to dilly-dally tonight. We're not going to beat around the bush. We're going to speak comments, but we pray that everything we speak can be documented according to Scripture, according to the specific and direct teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the explicit leadership and direction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. To that end, tonight's guest is no stranger to these airwaves. He is the leader of Muhammad Farms, from Bronwood, Georgia, and the consultant to every Muslim who is putting the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad into action wherever you're growing your own food. But there in Bronwood, he's been successful in building a Muslim farm out of the wilderness with literally very, very little. Yet and still each year, you see him take the crop from the farm. You see him take the yield from the farm, load it up on trucks, and visit cities literally across this country with the Staples Goods Program and the Muhammad Farms Program. He's with us tonight. He and his wife, Sister Ann, there in Georgia, are doing a great job with Muhammad Farm. Let me bring to the microphone my brother, my friend, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Dr. Ridgely?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear brother. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm fine, brother. Hell is for purification, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Tonight, there's a lot being discussed, dear brother, a lot in the news. Everything that we hear from Sister Charlene, everything we're reading in the newspaper, everything we're watching on Saturday Night Live, everything we're watching on YouTube, and all the discussion about the final push or the beginning of the final push for black people to be free from domination, from false friends, and open enemies. Tonight, I want to ask you, my dear brother, Dr. Ridgely, what is paramount in your thinking as you observe the environment around us? What's happening, and how do we apply the teachings? And this is for you who are a visitor, too. If you're not a registered Muslim, there's a way for you to apply good common sense in light of the racial situation in America today. Dr. Ridgely, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, a lot of times people, first of all, let me thank Elevated Places, Sister Charlene and yourself for having me on the program. Minister Farrakhan has been trying to warn us that we as black people are in trouble. There's a depopulation agenda. You know, we had the Million Man March to counteract the image of the menace to society that had put the black man in. And so Minister Farrakhan let us make man. And we came into the Million Man March, over 2 million. He called for a million, over 2 million showed up. And it showed the world that indeed the black man was rising and had a significant appreciation of God, and even said Allahu Akbar on the steps of the capital of the beast.
That's right.
The United States of America. Now, how do you think those who are enemies to us, how did they see that? They saw that as the breaking away of a mindset that they had engendered in us by removing from us our name, our religion, our way of life, our moral base. And here, one black man makes a call for a million men, and 2 million men show up. So after then, they had decided to sink America and everybody in it. They tried to keep us down, put us down, segregate us, lynch us, then trick us with integration, and we still keep rising. So they decided that they just have to set the whole thing down, move all the manufacturing plants out of the country, into China, into Mexico, into India. Most of your drugs now are produced in India and China, not in America. So here we come.
Yes.
Over this last 2 years, 2.5 years, we've been faced with this COVID-19 pandemic and these fake vaccines. They're not even vaccines. They're operating systems. And now that they are being exposed, now the people are seeing that they have been tricked, the American people have been tricked, and they see it, then they come with a trick. The trick is anti-Semitism. So now they want to blame Ye, they want to blame Kyrie, now they want to blame Chappelle for being anti, just being done by this government, which is the depopulation of the darker people of the world and the collateral damage of their own white people. So now, then what's in the news now? You don't hear about COVID-19. You don't hear about the 31,000 people who have died after taking the shot, the 1.4 million people who have had serious injuries after taking the shot. You don't hear much about that now. Why? First, it was Ukraine. Now, it's anti-Semitism. But you know,
yeah,
Allah is God, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. And no matter how far you try to run, you're going to wind up right where he wants you. So did they jump on Kyrie? Why did they jump on Ye? That's a good question, right? Did you know that Ye did a very, very strong statement July 10th of 2020 saying that these vaccines that was coming would be from the devil? Did you know that the reason that Kyrie was out of work for two-thirds of the last season was not because of an injury, but because he refused to take the vaccine? And
yes, sir.
These people became role models. There was at one time, they were really worried in New York because they said 70% of the young black people in New York said they were not going to take the shot. So here.
Wait a minute now. You're saying 70%?
70% of the young black people in New York said they were not going to take the shot. So
now,
who do they blame? They want to turn around and blame Minister Farrakhan, Kyrie, Ye, but they don't say much about Farrakhan. But now they go mess with the student. So now they jump on the student, and here comes Minister Farrakhan to defend the student, and they go and to remember, give the so-called Jews to remember. Don't be beat up on these young people trying to find themselves, trying to find out who they are. I know who you are. You know I know who you are. So why don't you call me and my research team in with your scholars, and we can talk about this. Who is the real anti-Semite? Who are the real children of God? Who are the real chosen people? Who are the people who have been enslaved for 400 years in America, in a strange land? Because Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, in the message of the black man, that did not happen to those people who call themselves Jews. It just did not happen. And now, their own scientists, their own archaeologists, they have dug up stuff all in the Middle East, around Palestine, around Jerusalem, in the Sinai Desert.
That's right.
They cannot find a trace that there was ever, in the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us that Moses didn't go to Egypt to free no Jews. He went up to the mountains, the Caucasus Mountains, where the white folks were up there for 2,000 years, who had lost their minds, who had walking on all fours, eating raw meat. He went up there and brought them out of that type of mental, spiritual bondage that they had fallen into. And that's where these so-called Jews or the Israelites came from. So now we have this movie out from Hebrew the Negro. And we say, let's talk about that. Let's sit down with these so-called Jews and let's talk about that. Let's talk about what these brothers found. Let's talk about the three books that are out from the Nation of Islam's research team of the secret relationship, books one, book two, book three. Let's sit down and let's talk about that. Let's see who is the real anti-Semite. Let's see who is the real anti-Black.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Doc. You're actually suggesting that black people have a right of self-determination, that they can sit across the table as an equal and discuss the facts, the data, and the truth with Jews, and we actually may have the nerve to differ with them? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yes, sir. Because guess what?
because that very proposition is nervy. That means black folks got a hell of a nerve to sit up in here and tell Jews something about what they think.
Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he gave us nerve. And Minister Farrakhan, it showed us the result of a human being who believes in no God but Allah, any man. So I have to learn from my teacher, okay? And the world's got to learn. The black world's got to learn. As a matter of fact, the black world did pretty good in Africa. Only 6% of them took the shot, as Minister Farrakhan said on July 4th, 2020. told the African president, don't let the shot in your country. Only 6% of Africans were shot. They do much better than the Europeans and Americans. Let me read something to you. I just finished the article. I'm not sure whether it's going to be in the final call, but something in there I just want to bring out because it relates to what you just said about the nerve that we got. Well, look at the nerve that they got, okay? This is from an interview from Amy Goodman, NPR's Amy Goodman. In 2002, she talked to the former government minister, Shulamit.
He
said, often when there is dissent expressed in the United States against policies of the Israeli government, people here are called anti-Semitic. What is your response to that as an Israeli Jew? Then Aloni replied, quote, well, it's a trick. We always use it. When from Europe somebody is criticizing Israel, then we bring up the Holocaust. When in this country, the U.S., people are criticizing, then they are anti-Semitic. So what is the charge of anti-Semitism on Kyrie stem from? The NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, who's Jewish, said, quote, no doubt that Kyrie Irving is not anti-Semitic. The Nets owner who sat down and had dinner with Kyrie said, we spent time to understand each other, and it's clear to me that Kyrie does not have any belief of hate towards Jewish people or any group. So we continue to look to see what did Kyrie say other than to look at a movie that's still on Amazon, the movie that Kyrie just put it up on his Twitter. He tweeted out the link, and they went berserk because he tweeted it out and said it's anti-Semitic. But is there any other thing other than that one movie that he's done in the past that would make you think he was anti-Semitic? Well, the answer is no. But his NBA former Brown, and also he's one of the vice presidents of the NBA, Players Union. He stated it's still an indefinite suspension. He's already missed 5 or 6 games. So how many games is he going to continue to miss? Is it another situation going on there? Is it a larger situation going on there? Is it a larger conversation needs to be had? We've yet to find out. And this is what we are saying. There is a larger conversation that needs to be had. So now we go right back to what all Jews, let's talk. They said no. Guess what? Now they got to sit down and talk. They should sit down and talk because the only thing that Kyrie did that was wrong was tell people to look at a movie. And the other thing that he did that was wrong, according to this world, was say, I'm not going to take a shot. It's my body. It's my life. I'm not going to take this vaccine. And then he doubled down in September of this year, 2022. Kyrie doubled down and criticized the black mayor of New York over these mandates to city workers. So Kyrie said, look, I don't have to take the shot. Because you remember now, he stumped him. I don't know what he stumped him. He said he wasn't going to take it. And they had to submit and let him play. Now, you see, that was big. When you make a white man back down, he's going to forget that. He's waiting for any excuse to get you. He said, look at that movie. But what he was really upset was he caused vaccine hesitancy in the young black people in New York, because the Brooklyn Nets are in New York City. See, this is how they play. But guess what? They're playing right into the hand of Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. And now the whole world is looking at these people who call themselves Jews and say, what is your problem? What is your problem? And what we're saying, the problem is, it's like this, brother. Suppose you had a friend. You thought was your friend. you wound up with some jewelry missing. You had it in a safe, and you're trying to figure out who stole your jewelry. So you have a party, and this friend who stole your jewelry, he's always listening to any conversation you might have with anybody else to see whether you done figured out who done stole your jewelry. Okay? He's very, very paranoid. He's very, very sensitive to anything that's said that may imply that he stole that jewelry. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that the people who call themselves Jews stolen our identity, and they don't want us to know, nor the world to know, because they're living off stolen identity. They get $4 billion a year, not some just some jewels. They get $4 billion a year from the United States government, and the United States government won't even give debt relief to black farmers for $4 billion to all the black farmers. They won't give that debt relief, but they give Israel $4 billion per year.
Per year. Now
based upon this lie that they are God's chosen people. They have stolen from us. Go ahead, brother.
No, that gives rise to a couple of questions, and thank you for that thorough introduction to tonight's discussion. And I want to remind everybody, callers, we will get room for you, but you need to get into the queue early so that we can get your call on the air with Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. The number to call, I want to make sure everybody knows it. You're going to reach out at 563-999-3065. You're on at that number now, most of you. In order to engage our guest in discussion, press number 1 on your keyboard. When you hear the key tone, you'll hear the lady say, "You're now in the host's queue," and we'll get to you in the order we see you. We know that you're there, but we want to make sure that Dr. Ridgely can develop this particular point. Sir, you said something about the movie From Hebrews to Negroes.
Yes.
And that they were being upset. These people are upset because they said that it engages in anti-Semitic tropes.
Right.
Does anyone have a listing of what those anti-Semitic tropes are, what is false? And then I have a second part to my question, sir. Are there any apologies in the offing from the Jewish community to black people for their movies, which deal in anti-black tropes, stereotypes, exploitation, misrepresentation, and downright indignities? Is there somebody from the family of David O. Selznick who will apologize for the Jewish filmmaker? And yes, he was a Jewish filmmaker from Pittsburgh, married to Louis D. Mayer's daughter from Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, and they, of course, created the film in 1939, Gone with the Wind, which gave us Butterfly McQueen and Hattie McDaniel and so many running around happy darkies on the plantation. Did they apologize to us? Because I may have missed that in the news. So my question is, number one,
yes,
what are the anti-Semitic tropes and where's the apology?
Okay. Now, I looked at that movie. It was 3 hours long. I looked at it specifically for any anti-Semitic statements, and in particular, looking for what Jonathan Greenblatt told Nick Cannon on Nick Cannon's podcast. Greenblatt said that, according to ABL President Jonathan Greenblatt, this movie was anti-Semitic and highly offensive to the Jews. This is Jonathan Greenblatt. The movie is saying white Jews invented the Holocaust. Now, you remember, I just read you from Aloni, the game they play with the Holocaust. Here it is,
yes,
right
sir.
Here. And I looked at that movie 3 hours long. I've had other folks to look at that movie. I ain't seen no statement that would imply directly or indirectly that the movie is saying white Jews invented the Holocaust. It's not in there. That is a bold
just not
lie. It's not in there. It's not in the movie. It's a trick. Just like Ohlone said, this is what they do. They bait the switch. They flip the script. They outright lie. And you got to defend. You have to defend yourself against a lie that they put out. So they want him to apologize. Apologize for what? It's not even in the movie. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do. Now, of course, you know, they're not going to apologize, my brother. Albert Louis Farrakhan said they're they're not going to submit. They're not going to apologize. You might have some Gentile whites who will apologize once directly hit with the truth, but the so-called Jews, they're not going to apologize because they know darn well what they're doing. They know that they live by the lie. They live by the lie. And my next book coming out in the Secret Relationship series is going to be talking about that book of lies, that book of trickology called the Talmud. Make sure you get 1, 2, and 3. The Secret Relationship
between
Blacks and Jews, 1, 2, and 3. And number 3 is about the Leo Frank case, which is the case that the ADL was set up for to defend the Jews against anti-Semitism. But guess what? There's no other case, there's no other incident in the South of Jews being with Judah P. Benjamin, a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the war, he fled to England and took his cotton money with him. And then those who wanted to set up the Ku Klux Klan came to England for him to give them the money to set up the Ku Klux Klan. So, again, in that Leo Frank case, and you got to get book 3, the Leo Frank case.
Yes.
It's just obvious that they lied on this black man. This Jewish boy did it. And the big lawyers like Louis Marshall came out of New York to defend him. And this same Louis Marshall told some Jewish, prominent Jews in America that wanted to stop this lynching of black people, this terrorism. Louis Marshall, the same one who tried to get Leo Frank off from murdering this girl and put on a black man, he demanded that they leave the Klan alone. Louis Marshall demanded other Jews leave the Klan alone. You know, when I got down here to the farm, 27 going on 28 years, I was just surprised down here in Albany, Georgia, to see a Jewish synagogue in the middle of downtown Albany, in the very middle. I thought Jews were scared of the KKK. I thought the Jews were scared of the South. But in the Secret Relationship between Blacks and Jews, we find more and more and more. They not only they were not afraid of the whites in the South, they was running the banks. They were setting up Neiman Marks and the different stores, Lehman Brothers.
Uh-huh.
These were stores that were set up first in the South before they went north.
Yes, sir.
We thought that the Jews came in from the North and came South. No, they came in from the South and went north. Go ahead, brother.
Right. That's correct. And you look at it, it's interesting you would say that. And I, in preparation for you being on the program tonight, I did some specific spot reading. And I found it so fascinating what you just said, that Jewish merchants who had made millions, which would be equivalent to billions today, in the cotton trade, and they control what's called the needle trades of New York, the garment industry. The garment district that's still there around 40th Street and Broadway in Manhattan today. Now, these Jewish merchants and agrarians or farmers, they controlled this. Now, this is not a matter of anti-Semite teaching. This is just no anti-Semitism. This is straight fact. The fact is that the stores bear the names of the merchants who proudly took the spoils of their participation in the slave trade and exploitation of blacks in the South to the urban centers of the North and open emporiums, department stores, huge bustling temples to trade and commerce. In New York, there was Gimbel's. In New York, there's Bonwit and Teller. In New York, Lord and Taylor. In Philadelphia, Wanamaker's, John Wanamaker. In Washington, there's the Hecht Company, Woodward and Lothrop. There's Shillitoe's in Ohio. There's Wright's in Ohio. There's the May Company. There is all of these different stores doing business in the North. And you're right, according to the Secret Relationship between Blacks and Jews and callers, you can stop us if we're wrong now. but I don't think you have too much to say tonight because the unimpeachable scholarship reads as follows. And I want to give it to you on page 102 of volume 2 of The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. Can I read one paragraph, Dr. Richard? Oh, he's there. Okay. Dear brothers and sisters, it reads on page 102. In summary, Jews in the South faced no social, religious, or political disabilities, and anti-Semitism was virtually non-existent. They reciprocated the white Gentiles' philo-Semitism, or love for the Jewish community, and reinforced the customs of race hatred directed at the black African. By the 20th century, the Jews enjoyed full membership in white Southern society by their own fervent desire. Their Judaism was refashioned to emphasize the primacy of white skin in accordance with the dictates of white supremacy. Reform Judaism for Southern Jews became the historical junction where racial, religious, cultural, and national veins of Judaism, driven by economic imperatives, coalesced into a cohesive force never before seen in the Jewish diaspora. In fact, Jews held a certain proprietary interest in Southern society, having helped forge its economic and ideological foundations, and as such, they demanded and received full access to all the benefits of their God-given whiteness. That's page 102 of The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. That seems to speak right into what you said. Not only did they not become secondary in that process, they created the process of white supremacy in the South so that they could assume a role first alongside non-Jewish whites and then eventually controlling them as well.
That's right.
You're listening to the Elevated Places program. We're founded by our sister student minister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. And tonight, our guest is none other than Dr. Rijvi Muhammad, the director of Muhammad Farms, and our brother in scholarship and in brave, bold defense of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and black people everywhere. Dr. Rijvi, it is really, really a pleasure to have you with us tonight. I'm not going to get in your way. If you were developing something, I want to do that. And callers, we see you. We know you're there. We can tell you're calling. Stay with us. Be patient. We want to let Dr. Rijvi develop this subject matter so you have more to comment on in your call. Dr. Rijvi, go right ahead.
You know, along with this misunderstanding of the Jewish power in the South and the ability to manipulate the white people in the South to go against the black people and to do something to us that they did and then hid, and nobody ever knew what they did to stop what we were doing. I'll give you an example. In the secret relationship between blacks and Jews, I'm just going to quote something from you. The Jewish owner of the Atlanta Journal, this is 1906, whipped whites into a frenzy of race hate that ultimately led to the Atlanta massacre of 1906. Jews were involved in that massacre of as many as 40 innocent blacks and probably many more. Now,
oh, wow.
Again, the Jewish owner and editor of the Atlanta Journal whipped up whites in a frenzy that started a massacre. And that actually was not a massacre in the sense of it was a military operation. 10,000 white folks came through the black community and strung black folks up on telegram posts. Okay? It was so horrific that when W.E. Du Bois, when he came back into Atlanta, because he was in Tuskegee at the time, he came back to Atlanta and saw it. It shocked him so bad that he never came back to Georgia. He never came back down south. It scared the hell out of him. Because at that meeting, after they did what they did, they called the leadership into a meeting with the white leadership. And the white leadership told the preachers that these were Uncle Tom preachers where you got today. These are revolutionary preachers. He told those preachers, stick to Jesus and go into heaven after you die. You get back into politics and economics again, we're coming back through the community, and we're going to do it again. Now, here's another little tidbit that we learned from studying that incident, and to show you how clever they are to hide stuff from us. Then they give all types of reasons of why they had this massacre of us. It's usually behind some black man doing something, some white woman. But actually, that same year, the National Negro Business League had a meeting in Atlanta in 1906. And amongst the people who came to the meeting, I want you to listen very carefully, were 50 presidents of black banks. In 1906, we had 50 black banks, and they organized themselves into an organization of bankers, black men. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And here you come right after that. Here they come. Okay, niggas. Y'all think y'all, no, you're not going to do this. You're not going to be free. You're not going to have no money. You're not going to have no bank.
Right.
You're not going to have no business. This is before Tulsa 1921.
Mm-hmm.
We talking about 1906. Okay?
Yes, sir.
We had 50 banks, 15 million acres of land. We were never given 4 acres of a mule. We bought that. And they
went. Yes, sir.
Now you know we only got 2 to 3 million acres of land because I worked with the black farmers in the black farmers lawsuit. All right? So I had to do a study in the history. So they took over 13 million acres of land. The U.S. Department of Agriculture tricked the black farmers into putting their land up for sale to get equipment and operating costs to be involved in the new agribusiness. They tricked the black man into that, and then slowly they gave the loans too late in the season. So then when he planted, he was too late to make a profit, and then they had to roll that over with interest on top of interest until they took the man's land. They did this over and over again. But in 1910, we had 16 million acres of land. We had 8 medical schools. And by 1923, we had 200 hospitals. We were doing
Now, you said 8 medical schools in 1910. Well, today we only have 3.
Hey, and today we only got 1 black hospital. One.
Mm-hmm.
That's Howard. I was born in a black hospital. Kate Benton Reynolds Memorial Hospital in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, is gone. There's only 1 black hospital. Here comes COVID-19, and they kill us in the hospital with remdesivir and the ventilators because we got no hospitals of our own. And all of our doctors are working for these administrative hospitals. They're working for the hospital, and the hospital is controlled by these huge conglomerates that tell you what you can give and what you can't give to the patients. But we had our own health care. And the reason we had to have our own health care, because in 1896, this mathematician named Hoffman, did an analysis that said, based on the death rate of black and white in 1896, that black, if you do not give black health care, they will die out in 2 generations. That's 1896.
Wow. Now, let me pause you right there. Let me pause you right there, Dr. Ridgely. This is rich information. It's dense with data and filled with facts. How can our listeners contact you to begin their own independent study of what you share with us tonight? And I'm so grateful that you're on the Elevated Places tonight because you're sharing information which has become second nature to you, which has emboldened you as a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to stand in defense of our people and our future with the minister. Can we get like that? How do we contact you? I'm pausing right now before the end of the show. I know folks want to write down how they can reach out for you.
Well, I'm going to give you my email address, okay?
Yes, sir.
But really, they don't need to contact me. Just get the secret relation between blacks and Jews, Books 1, Books 2, and Book 3. I gave away my secret. I'm giving away my secrets. I'm not that smart a dude. But I read the secret relation between blacks and Jews, Books 1, Book 2, and Book 3. And I asked the most stuff to my own research in it. And I got a book called I Will Not Apologize, The Resurrection of the Master Architect. You can get that from me. And then I got Commonomics 1, Commonomics 2, where I show you the economic behind the teeth of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the economics behind what the Jews have done, the tricks they have pulled on the world, and how we got to have our own separate system. Now, if they want the books, they can email me at they want the books for the free single relationship books. Just go to Final Call Store. Get it from the Final Call. Now, if you want to get some of my books, you can go to Ridgely Mumin, RidgelyMumin, at gmail.com. I give it to you again. Ridgely Mumin, RidgelyMumin, at gmail.com. And I'll be glad to entertain you. I would give you my phone number, but you might call me when I'm underneath the tractor, all full of oil, trying to fix something, and I might not be in the good mood. Okay? But I am a farmer.
Yes, sir.
Okay? All right?
Yes.
So email me. But really, just go to yourself down and read.
Yes, sir. That's the command that Allah first gave to his messenger, Muhammad, peace and prayers be upon him. Read. And when you read in the name of the Lord who creates, oh, you can begin to change some things, dear brother and sister, that really, really need to be changed. I'm gonna shift gears here now, dear brother, because there are a number of callers lining up, and so I'm gonna take the callers, and then we may even get a chance to go to our staff. I know Sister Donna and Sister Charlene have other things that they want to add, but this is a rip snorting, rootin' tootin' discussion tonight, brother, and we owe that to you. Thank you. Let's go to the lines now and take our first caller. It's going to be our dear brother Hoyle in Memphis, Tennessee. Brother Hoyle, it was good to see you in Chicago, and welcome once again to your native place. Brother Hoyle, go right
ahead. Assalamu alaikum, brother. It was good to see you too, soldier. You're looking well, and brother. Beautiful, beautiful show. Dr. Ridgely, it was good to see you too, soldier. And beautiful.
Yes,
I just want to commend Dr. Ridgely, Brother Jamil. You know, he has an excellent article in this latest paper. Fasting is the first defense against the spike protein and genocidal bioweapon, but he's talking about the fasting and ivermectin and how that, you know, fights that spike protein. Powerful, brother, Dr. Ridgely. And
you.
I want to... Just add to that, you know, those. It's also another book out, too, Jews Selling Blacks, you know, with the three books they got
on
sale. Yeah, that's one, two, three, and they got four. Powerful, powerful books. And
yes, sir.
Dr. Ridgely has beautiful articles every week, and his books are Commonomics. I have those. Excellent, family, for, you know, all of what we're talking about today. And getting to, I'm just going to add a little information. I'm going to let somebody else talk about this culture vulture and how they exploit, how these so-called Jews exploit artists. And I know you've heard about Joe Glasser. And, you know, our black artists are, you know, we rule, you know, in the culture and the rap and everything. So eventually they know this, and they say originally, now this is from the book How White Folks Got So Rich. So listen to this, family. That originally whites like Thomas Daddy Rice and Al Jolson made careers by actually painting their faces pitch black, reflecting a mock black dialect, dancing and singing like blacks for the white audience that thronged to see them. They call themselves coon singers and black minstrels, and the very first Hollywood movies all featured them. European composer Gunther Schiller said the blacks have always invented the music, the whites take it over, then the blacks invent something new. They are cultural bandits. You know, we call them culture vultures. You got them Wiggers, you got them the Gershwins, the Elvises, the Timberlakes, Post Malone, Madonna, the Britneys. What's they got this new one, Taylor Swift, and all of those. But those who sit behind the scenes counting the cash have always maintained an exclusive hold over the incredible riches and talent. The business agents, managers, producers, and technicians, music publishers and distributors and tour managers, copywriters, team owners, coaches, lawyers, vendors, franchises, media advertisers, studio heads, a colossal of financial enterprise are almost entirely white and overwhelmingly Jewish. For every talented
yes.
black athlete and entertainer, there are thousands of whites siphoning a living for their families, for the consumers paying huge amounts to see and hear black performers or his or her failed imitators. The names
mm-hmm.
of the stars are well known, but in America there are at least 403 people making off the blacks' backs of these black individuals, on the average $45,000 a year in the fields of performing arts, spectator sports, and related industries. Probably the most glaring and widespread exploitation of black talent is found in the college sports, where black athletes fill stadiums with paying consumers but receive not a single penny for their marketable talent. The only similar business model is slavery itself. If the black athlete
That's
accepts
right.
a sandwich or a stick of gum from the other person, he is subject to severe penalties, even while his white coaches and athletic departments may and do enter a multi-million dollar private contract or merchandise with advertisers and media corporations. Professional circuit is hardly any better, and the individual black performer who becomes a star is sometimes realized a measure of personal financial gain, but the real money is that which he or she generates in the behind-the-scenes business operation that is highly lucrative and exclusively white-controlled. So I just dropped a little knowledge right there, family. And
wow.
I just
let me say
the greatest example of
thank you. Go ahead, brother.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dr.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I wanted to respond to two things he said,
mm-hmm.
Brother Hoyle. And thank you,
yes,
Brother Hoyle. It's great seeing you in Chicago.
You too, soldier. Yes, sir.
You know, he mentioned one of the books that the research team puts out called Jews Selling Blacks. Now, I'm going to read you something that when I saw this, it blew my mind. Now, what this is Jews Selling Blacks is a compilation of actual advertisement during slavery in the 1850s of Jews selling blacks. These are advertised in newspapers. Now, let me read one of these advertisements. It blew my mind when I read it.
Yes, sir.
R.J. Parker, and Bea offer, quote, 210 Negroes in families accustomed to the culture of rice, cotton, and provisions, among which are valuable carpenters, millwrights, engineers, coopers, millhands, blacksmiths, boat hands, and house servants. Hold it. Wait a minute. Excuse me. Where the hell did we learn engineering from?
Wow.
Stole engineers. They stole carpenters. They stole millwrights. You know what a millwright is? A millwright can fix anything in a manufacturing plant. Any
yes,
piece
sir.
Of equipment. That's what millwrights do. You know what a cooper is? A cooper is a person
mm-hmm.
who made, you know, when you see these movies talk about these ships going across the ocean back in the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s,
yeah.
and you have these
mm-hmm.
these wooden barrels, these
yes,
wooden
sir.
Barrels that binds them together. That's what coopers
yes.
make. So we were doing all of this for them. And then they will call us, act like we were swinging from trees with bones in our nose. You all are darn liars. You know
what? Darn is
mm-hmm.
what the man said. He said darn.
Darn.
I want to put that down for the record. Darn liars.
Darn.
I also want to tell you, to bear witness to you, Brother Dr. Risley, the book I recommend highly. And the author's name escapes me right now. You brothers and sisters may know it. But the book is called Black Rice. Black Rice.
Mm.
And it details how the South Carolina economy that exists and is wealthy today
mm.
was based on rice plantation mm. engineering that was
mm.
unknown to the whites but was brought to South
mm.
Carolina to grow rice in lowlands. Rice used to grow on steppes. S-T-E-P-P-E-S, steps or hills
mm.
in Asia. But in Africa, the engineers had ingeniously created a system of canals that will allow rice to grow in low-lying, moist areas. And that's what they did in South Carolina. They stole engineering from the black man and woman that they brought into bondage. So that we were not slaves. We were enslaved Africans who came there with great, great. Thank you, Sister Donna. So the author is Judith A. Carney. Black Rice, and I have to recommend it because it's an interesting read because you won't think that you are be interested in reading about agriculture in the antebellum South, but it's a page turner, and I want to tell you, brother and sister, you don't want to miss it. You said, Dr. Ridgely, that the people you're referencing off the basis of Brother Hoyle's comment are darn liars, and I believe that to be the doggone truth.
Well,
all right.
Well, look, let me give you an example of some darn liars, a darn lie, okay?
Yes.
Back to Thick Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 2. You know, Webb DuBose, who wrote Souls of Black Folk in 1903, in the book, the original book said that after Civil War, that the Jews were the heirs to the slave barons. You know what I mean? Heirs meaning they were, you know, inheritance. Of the slave barons, of the plantation. But that was in the 1903 edition. But in 1954, W.E. Du Bois, who was now working for the Jews, you know, he never ran the NAACP. He just wrote, what's the stuff that he wrote every week? The his magazine? Okay.
Yes, the Crisis magazine.
He wrote that. So they kept him close, and they kept bugging him until the statute of limitations was over, a copyright was over 50 years later, and then he did another book, and in that book he changed the word Jews to immigrants.
Uh-huh. Immigrants. And the edition exists, so we can compare the original with the revision. And so that's the level of unimpeachable scholarship that we're calling for. See, when Dr. Ridgely appears on your radio program, that's why many people are afraid to bring you and the other scholastic giants in the Nation of Islam who are intellectual giants. They're afraid to bring you because you bring receipts. You bring a big old briefcase full of receipts, and you're able to prove without any hesitation what you're saying. That's beautiful. Thank you, Brother Hall, for that call. I'm going to go back to the line right now. I'm going to exercise the prerogative of the chair right now and bring to the microphones a brother who needs no introduction on the Elevated Places program. I don't know what part of the world he's in. I guarantee you he just got off the plane in the last couple of hours at most, but he's traveling on behalf of the Hip Hop Caucus. He's all over the world on behalf of the Nation of Islam, and he is back with us tonight on the Elevated Places, my brother and yours, Brother Terrence. Brother Terrence, come on to the mic and share what it is that's on your heart, my brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
So I'm going to try to be quick because all of y'all know I'm an emotional brother, but I really just came on for a moment of gratitude. And thank you all for what you all are doing with the show and continue the legacy and continue this spirit and continue the conversation and continuing lifting up our sister. As I was scrolling social media today, I found a picture of us at the burial site, and I just realized today is around 3 months from her transition. And so I got the nerve to kind of call in. You know, I'm still in the mourning phase of the transition, and, you know, just wanted to lift her name up and just thank all those that are still calling in, those that are still listening and remembering her, and, of course, remembering to go to MinisterAva.com, MinisterAva.com. And I appreciate, Doc, and the topic that we're doing because, you know, our sister was a defender of Farrakhan. And, you know, as Doc was reading off The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, we have to get those books. And we just can't get the books and put them on our shelves. We got to study the books, as Brother Jamil, you read out of the book and really quote, because we have to not only defend our people, but defend the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as he is standing on the truth And we know just as they attack our brothers, we already know what is coming. So we just got to be prepared, and we need to continue to read. We continue to study. As Dr. Ridgely made a point to say that they're using them as a smoke screen because they're still killing us, not only through, as we know, COVID and all of the different things, but we just know that this is still going on. So I'm just glad to hear the conversation tonight because our sister will be happy to know that we're still in defense mode. We're still fighting. And like I said, just a moment of gratitude, I'm grateful for you all and for all those that are continuing this work. You know, of course, I'm not going anywhere, just not present in this moment, but I just thank you all for that. So I just had to call recognizing what this day is for me. So, yeah, that's all.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah. My brother, what part of the world are you in today, brother?
Well, I'm getting ready to take a flight, Brother Jamil. This weekend I'm going to be blessed to be in Detroit with the believers in Detroit to help them with their fundraiser this Saturday night in Detroit, where we will be doing a fundraiser so they can have an industrial kitchen in Detroit so that they can make sure that they are putting out good quality food to the people of Detroit, because they are one of the cities that actually get the staple goods from the farm and make sure it gets into the hands of the people. But they're going to have this powerful event with a keynote by Student Minister Troy Muhammad this Saturday night. So I'm going to be the guest host for this event in Detroit this Saturday. So I'm wheels up in the morning.
May Allah bless you and keep you and strengthen you as you travel, my dear brother. Make sure you keep your vitamins and stay supplemented up, okay?
I'd like to say something to my brother, Brother Terrence.
Yes, sir.
Brother Terrence. Brother, you know I feel you, right? And
yes, sir.
There was almost a month where you didn't see any articles from me in the Final Call newspaper. Because
yes, sir.
I was in the writer's block after Minister Ava transitioned, because he was my big sister, but not only that, but she was the genie over my shoulder who would look at all my articles and would fix them, even the change in the title. And I loved everything she did. And it was hard for me to start writing again without her looking over my shoulder, until I realized, hey, look, brother, your job is to help the minister, and this is what she did. She always helped the minister, no matter what, make his word bond. And so I said, you know, I'm going to take her example. I'm going to get off my couch mourning and get back into fighting the beast for our people under the leadership and guidance of Minister Farrakhan, so that her mission is continued through us. So thank you very much, Brother Terrence. Assalamu alaikum.
And, no, I thank you for those words, because it reminds me of the words that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan lifted up the day of her janazah as he was leaving. He looked upon me and he asked me, you know, he saw me, he said, are you, you know, Terrence, are you okay? And I said, long as you okay, Brother Minister. And he said, no, but are you okay? I said, long as you are okay, Brother Minister. And he said, it's okay to grieve or to be sad. He said, but don't stay there. He said, you know, you don't stay there. And then he said, because she left a study guide 22. And he had a big smile come on his face when he said she left a study guide 22. And so I say that's one of the reasons why I had to call, because we have to continue to push. We have to continue to work. And we got to continue to share what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan lifted up last Thursday morning, that we want to continue to spread. And it's a beautiful thing to see all of my friends that are not in the nation. I've seen so many people that have shared that clip, used that clip, make different clips of the minister's words, that our people are really, truly waking up, and then to be followed by what we saw the skillful tact of Dave Chappelle and how he laid it out. The minister just set it off. And we need to follow his example and follow his lead, as he said, you come apologize to us for killing us, raping us, castrating us, enslaving us, and making us chattel. So the minister, you know, if they thought, you know, as they said in apology, thought you're going to see a weak, fragile Farrakhan, look again, because he is here in our midst today. And they know their time is up and their end has been sealed.
Yes, sir. Terrence, my goodness, I hope you can stay with us, brother, just in case somebody wants to ask you something. But you have lit a fire tonight, and all around us, we are hearing the fiery spirit of the defenders of the righteous. This is what we are called to do by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He told us, he said, work and wait for me. Work and wait for me. And that means that we must work and continue to draw on the inspiration provided by the minister. And if you look on Facebook right now and in social media, I guarantee you that Brother Hoyle and Brother Terrence, maybe even Brother Jamil, is sharing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message from last Thursday about Kyrie Irving and Ye, and defending our brothers and challenging our enemies. But the enemies cower before not just Farrakhan, but the God that he represents and the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam. They really do not want that smoke. They don't want it. Let's go back to the lines while we have these callers calling in. This is a prayer meeting tonight. This is really testifying night on a Thursday. And we appreciate you coming to the phones, to your devices, to your radios, to join us tonight on the Elevated Places program founded by Student Minister Dr. Ava Muhammad. Let's go to the lines now from Los Angeles, California. Our sister, you heard from her earlier, the national correspondent of the Final Call newspaper. She's with us tonight. Sister Charlene, you had something you wanted to add. Please feel free.
Yes. Thank you very much. My God, you all put so much on my mind and my heart. And Brother Jamil, what you just recently said regarding work and wait for me describes perfectly or gives me a segue, you know, to something that I received. You know, our dear research group, our Nation of Islam research group, as we continue to keep our beloved minister, our Mother Khadija, the Farrakhan family, the believers, each other in prayer. Let's say special prayers for the Nation of Islam Research Group, because the information that they diligently sought out, just out of a desire to defend our beloved, the man of God, the Messiah.
That's right.
What does that even mean to us, right? So I sit and think about that, like, oh, Allah. And so I want to preface, I want to further go into my remark about this. When you talked about work and wait for me, right now, brothers and sisters, I'm feeling, be not afraid. I would like to encourage us from the divine, be not afraid. And I just want to share some important quotes that I received from a beautiful big brother today that's always got our beloved minister at the forefront of his heart, mind, and defense. A quote from the Honorable, and then I have a question. A quote from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, 1964 Laborers Meeting. We have been all but universally attacked. The hound wants me most of all, and you must arm yourself with truth from scripture standpoints to prove my position. If you don't come out first and attack the enemy that attacks me, if you sit down and wait until I attack, then you are not much of a help. I'm just telling you, frankly, any time that your leader is attacked, you are attacked. And you should go after the attacker with everything you have, you know, of truth to defend yourself and your leader. A quote from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Iran 2018. Allah says in the Quran that the people who have been writing about me, it says they altered the word of Allah after they knew it out of its place. Holy Quran 275, 79, 444, 46, 5, and 4. So if they would alter the word of God himself, what chance do I have that my word, my character, my reputation would not be altered by these same statements? What is it that you hear about Louis, pardon me, what is it that you fear about Louis Farrakhan? Is it that God has blessed us to know the truth of Satan? This is the day that Satan must be unmasked and revealed to the world. That mission has been given to me. It is a very dangerous assignment. Message to the black man in America. Observe the operations of the white man. He is successful. He makes no excuses for his failures. He works hard in a collective manner. You do the same. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, one learned man is harder on the devil than 1,000 ignorant worshipers. The ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr. And one more quote before my question. Jesus, John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. My question is to Dr. Ridgely. Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Jews regarding this issue, this controversy, what is the truth? So the attacks on Minister Farrakhan, the real beginning, this is what my question is, Dr. Ridgely. Most people think that this attack, this conflict with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and with the Jews began when he came to the aid of the Reverend Jesse Jackson at the time in 84, who was running for president. But it goes further back than that, to Black Bottom Detroit. Would you please speak about that, Dr. Richard? Because, you know, even early on when I first joined the nation, I remember thinking that. I remember thinking that as an early, early believer, still a baby, but right when I came in, I was like, oh, my God, what happened with Reverend Jackson and what happened with the minister? But would you be able to comment on that and take us to the truth of when this conflict began going to Detroit?
Well, you know, thank you, Sister Charlene. And you're talking
thank you all for your
about,
patience.
Yeah, right. You're talking about the Purple Gang, okay, the Purple Gang in 1930. In Detroit, that flooded the black community with drugs, liquor, and vice. And that's where the Savior came to loosen that Jewish stranglehold on the black man and woman. So they were very angry with Master Farad Muhammad, and they knew who he was because they were looking for the Messiah. They knew that it was Messiah who was coming to black folk because they know they are the fake Jews. They are the fake chosen of God. When he showed up, they knew they was in trouble. Then when he left and left Honorable Elijah Muhammad in place, they had spies going into the temples. And it was anti-defamation that was spying for the FBI on us. So this has been going on ever since then. So they over and over again. Now, we, the Nation of Islam, has really not paid a whole lot of attention to the Jews, and in terms of, you know, the way we talk about white folks in general. You know, we took the Jews as white folks, and they eat properly. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that, you know, we can eat their food. They can eat our food. And we should follow their example of taking care of self. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our brother, Jesse Jackson, then they come full steam on him, and then Minister Farrakhan then has to turn to defend himself and slam back at them. But it didn't just start there. It started way before there because they have been waiting. That's why the FBI files say they're waiting for the rise of a Messiah. A lot of people say black Messiah. It didn't say black Messiah. The FBI files said Messiah, because they had to say black to each other because they know that the Messiah will have to be black because God's people is black. So they've been waiting to pounce on the Messiah because Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan said the goal of this world is to kill the messenger of Allah, to kill the Messiah, to stop the rise of our people. So thank you very much for bringing that up, sister. No, it didn't just start in 1984. They were messing with us ever since we was here.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Dr. Risley. We're on the Elevated Places program, in case you didn't know. Every Thursday night from 8 until 10 Eastern, 7 to 9 in the Central Time Zone, and from 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock on the West Coast. This is where it all goes down. We're going to move to the different callers now. I'm going to ask everybody to be brief. As you might expect, the switchboard is jammed. People want to speak with Dr. Ridgely. I'm going to ask everybody to keep your comments and questions as brief as we can so we can get everybody on the line. But let's first go down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and hear from our brother, Brother Ivan. Brother Ivan in Tulsa, come on the line, dear brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
I just want to say, man, I don't want to stay on that long, man. I just want to say I appreciate you all continuing the work of our dear beloved sister, Sister Ava. May Allah be pleased with our beloved sister. I just want to bear witness, man, to her. I remember when Sister Mary transitioned, Sister Ava was kind enough to counsel me. She took the time to call me and give me some comforting words, and I just thank Allah for the sister, and she really helped me get over the hump of, I mean, she helped me in my grieving periods with some of the things that she said to me, and I just wanted to bear witness, man, that, you know, that we got the best thing going, which is the Nation of Islam, you know, with the minister, what he called the brothers last. I'm still on high from that. The brothers that went, y'all know how beautiful it was for us to be there with the brothers, man. And I'm just thankful to be a part of the Nation of Islam and trying to strive, man. And I appreciate you all, man. I love y'all, man. That's all I wanted to say. I just came to bear witness and get some love, man.
Love you too,
yes,
brother.
Sir.
Thank you so
much
for your constant participation. May Allah continue to bless you as well there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Dr. Ridgely, can we go back to the line? We got more callers. Is it okay, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, let's go back now. Let's go down to Florida and get our brother Dow. Brother Dow, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Happy Savior's Day, family. How are you all?
Happy Savior's Day. What city are you in, Brother Dow?
Pensacola, Florida, right next door to Mobile, Alabama, and Brother Sharif is in Atlanta.
Yes, sir. All right, brother, go right ahead. What's happening in Pensacola?
I want to be just like Brother Harold. I don't want to stay long. I just want to thank Allah. I love you, Brother Jamil. You know I love your old school singing and talking when you were raising money back in the day.
All praise to Allah.
And I love to hear Brother Terrence. I'm good to hear his voice again because I hadn't heard him in a while. I just want to thank Brother Ridgely and all of the hosts on the show that we are keeping the spirit of our beloved Sister Ava show going. I promise my beloved brother there that I will call many people I can, but all those that do call and don't call, I'm going to always be on to the end. I'm on high when I'm on the final call radio. I love you all. May Allah continue to bless and long live the spirit of Sister Ava. Allahu Akbar. All
yes,
praise
indeed. Allahu Akbar. Thank you, my dear brother. And before we go back to the line, because we're going to clear this line out for the Dr. Risley, but if there's anything that's on your mind as you hear, please feel free to share with us, Dr. Risley, because we want to drink from the fountain of what Allah and His Messenger have poured into you through Minister Farrakhan. Is there anything else that you wanted to share, Dr. Risley?
No, not at this time. Just see what I get juice. Sometimes I have to give lectures, and I start off by saying, that's the end of my lecture. Questions? I love questions.
Yes, sir.
So let's do some more questions.
Like you say, like your classes used to say in college, now you can ask Dr. Risley a question, and he's going to give you an answer. He's going to give you. Yes, sir. Thank you, my dear brother Risley, because your patience with us is really, 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 really much appreciated. I'm going to go back to the queue from around the country, and then we have a question from Memphis at the control board. But right now, let's go to Brother Khalifa. He's there in Kansas City. All right, Brother Khalifa, Kansas City. Go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I want to first say that may Allah be pleased with our sister and everything. I had a lot in common with her. because her grandson is 7 years old, and my grandson is 7 years old, but he's about 3 weeks younger than her grandson. When I saw him, he's so big and strong, and my grandson is big and strong, not big and strong as he is. And then the next thing I want to say, that I've been working with Dr. Risley on the staple goods for about 11 years now, and it's true that this devil here hide everything. He got the, since we're talking about farming, almanac, and that's, you know, the almanac, A-L, that's the first, you know, that's the preposition, the man acts. See, they, so they bearing witness right now that it's a man acting on the weather. That's why they call it almanac. So praise be to Allah. We thank Allah, and that's got to do with the climate. When the minister said, watch the weather and the climate's changing. The whole climate in America is changing because they know their time is up. So that's all I wanted to say. So thank you so much, and continue the program, and may Allah be pleased with our sister. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. You there in Kansas City, my dear brother. Thank you so much for your call, Brother Khalifa. Now, we have a pleasure, Brother Risley. I want to go to the switchboard and go all the way down to East Baton Rouge Parish in Louisiana and get my dear brother, the separator. I'm talking about the great separator, my dear brother, Louis Ali from the South. Brother Louis, go right ahead, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, family. How y'all doing?
We're doing fine, dear brother. How are you, sir?
We're good. This is an incredible show, and I know Dr. Ava Muhammad is well pleased with it. I wanted to make a few, just some brief comments, and then I have a question. I know you will recall, Brother Dr. Ridgely and Brother Jamil, that Henry Highlander Garnett and Frederick Douglass had an incredible debate. And the small hats, some say Jews, put their leverage and use Frederick Douglass against Garnett, and it killed the movement in 1843 when they were calling for rebellions. And this is after Nat Turner and Denmark Vesey. And I know that you remember how they connived and maneuvered themselves around Debbie E.B. Du Bois and used Debbie E.B. Du Bois against Booker T. Washington and against the great Marcus Mosiah Garvey, who were both talking about separation and independence. And I know that Booker T. Washington was so brilliant because he was getting us involved in the skills trade. The originator of skills pay the bills and land literacy for all the land illiterates. And I know you saw how at the height of the Black Power movement, when Malcolm X, the student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and many other ministers, like the great Abdul Rahman, Jeremiah Shabazz, all of the Muslims were teaching all around the country. And black people were reclaiming their identity. And then these same little small hats raised up and maneuvered themselves around Dr. Martin Luther King. They went to Stanford and Berkeley and down in Tennessee at that Highlander group to train social engineers and change the language from miscegenation and put the name integration on it. The same way they took away homosexual and all these other titles and put LGBTQ. And, you know, it's so funny because when I was in the military in Italy, I remember Malcolm X, that I just can't find the lecture. My question is, I hope y'all can find it or you may have heard it. Malcolm did a lecture on the Jews called Don't Mess With Mr. In-Between. So if anybody on the research team can get that lecture, Don't Mess With Mr. In-Between, I think it's relevant now. My final comment is, they attempted to maneuver Jesse Jackson and came around Jesse against the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And Minister Farrakhan done something that has never been done in the annals of history, and why he, I think it goes into why he said he had pulled a cover off of these satanic Jews. He did not attack Jesse Jackson. He didn't attack no black leadership, wasted no time in fighting. He's been laser focused on what the real problem is, what the real solution is. And I think that sitting ringside as students and being able to watch the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because he ain't apologized for nothing.
That's
he
right. That's right.
Down at all. In fact, that's he right. doubled down and he reproduced us and showed us the enemy, and we're not going to stop teaching the truth. We're all sharpening our swords and hoping that we could be as razor sharp as Dr. Ava Muhammad in our precise language in terms of destroying this enemy with truth. And so I just want to thank y'all and put that out there. But if anybody on the research team could research a lecture done by Malcolm X called Don't Mess with Mr. In-Between, we would love to have that in the public domain. Thank y'all.
Yes, sir.
God bless y'all.
Yes, sir.
Only.
Yes, sir.
Thank
we'll,
you, Brother
we'll,
Lewis. We appreciate your input, as always. Dr. Ridgely, go right ahead.
Yes, we'll look that up, brother. But, you know, unfortunately, our brother Malcolm, in the end, he was Mr. In-Between. I won't go into it in a long soliloquy here. But, you know, he supposedly he went to Arabia and came back and said he saw some white Muslims. And now you have these people who are against separation saying that Malcolm was for integration because he said he met some white Muslims. And so he wound up being Mr. In-Between. Now, in line with what Brother Louis Ali said about the laser sharpness of the minister not getting caught up in the traps that they try to trap us in, like with Du Bois versus Jamil, you will remember this. When before the Obama election, when
yes.
he was running for president, the minister had his ministers to come to Chicago one after another, the big ministers, and to speak. You remember that? And one
yes,
of the
sir.
Ministers said something negative about Obama. And Ms. Farrakhan requested that the brother come back and apologize for
yes,
saying
sir.
Something negative about Obama. And he said, I'll deal with you, leave him alone. Now, fast forward. We knew
yes,
that they were up to something, okay? But Mr. Farrakhan said, let me handle it. You know, like he's saying now, what did you say earlier today, brother? He said, "What? Follow my lead." What did he say it again? What did you say?
Yes, sir.
He said
wait,
work and then do what?
He said, and wait for me.
Okay.
Work.
Now.
And wait for me. Yes, sir.
Right. Work and wait for me. Now, fast forward. When they killed our brother, Mr. Farrakhan's brother, Kadhafi, they were expecting Mr. Farrakhan to say something negative about President Obama. They would have killed Obama and blame it on the Nation of Islam the way they blamed the assassination of Malcolm X on the Nation of Islam. Mr. Farrakhan got us through a serious hurdle, a serious trick that they threw down. And instead of attacking Obama, he went straight to the poison, Ms. Witch
yes,
herself,
sir.
Hillary Clinton. My friend, if you don't understand the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as being guided by God, you will never see and understand a man that's guided by God because you go miss it all the way. This man is on it all the time. I just sit in amazement of how he's like Superman. He blocks the bullet. With his mouth, with his teeth, with his tongue.
Yeah.
When the devil pulls
yeah.
off a trick, Satan, he blocks it with his tongue. And you never
yes,
even
sir.
Saw the bullet. You never saw it coming because
right.
he blocked it, turned it right back on him, just like he stuck this banana up the tailpipe of these COVID-19 vaccines, and now they are spitting blood out of their mouth.
Yes,
so
sir.
That's all I
yes, sir.
About.
He's been gifted with those superpowers, if you will. And we're not going to follow
yes,
that analogy all the way through, but I tell you what, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been gifted by Allah and his Christ with X-ray vision. He can see through the steel that they surround
that's
their
right.
lives with and tell us what's exactly happening. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is faster than a speeding bullet, stronger than a locomotive, able to leap tall bull buildings in a single bound. That's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He's been made into a Superman, and if we stay in the class, pretty super ourselves, brothers and sisters. So let's make sure we stay with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, keep up the work, follow his direction. Let's go back to the queue. We're trying to get to everybody. We have only about another 20 minutes in order to do this, so we're going to ask everybody to cooperate. Let's go. We've been to California. We've been to Florida. We've been out to Detroit and down to North Carolina and Kansas City. Why don't we go east to New Jersey? Let's go to Jersey City and get my sister, Sister Carol Asadi Muhammad. She's with us in Jersey City. Sister Carol, good to hear from you. How can you ask a question for Dr. Risley tonight?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, okay, good. As-salamu alaykum, everyone. I've been not on the line since Dr. Ava transitioned. It was so painful. But I just want to say it is so beautiful. As always, Dr. Ava would have you come on, Brother Jamil, whenever she needed a host to fill in. And as always, you bring it, brother. You know that. And Dr. Ridgely, you know I love you.
Yes, ma'am.
And
thank you.
I hope the people read your books because, you know, on open mic, we keep your books going, you know, reading them over and over and over. And what I want to say to Brother Terrence, I want to thank him for coming on tonight. I can imagine the pain that he's in. We're all in the pain, but he was so close to Dr. Ava, I know. But I want to say this. When my son transitioned in 2020 from COVID, I truly loved seeing his friends. Whenever I would see his friends, it was like they brought my son's spirit with them. And
yes.
I just want Brother Terrence, you know how that is sometimes? Brother Terrence, we need to hear your voice because hearing your voice is like somewhat knowing Dr. Ava's right there. I just wanted to say that. And I pray Allah soothe your heart and help strengthen you. And we're all going through, but I know we're going through at different levels of pain. But I just thank all of you for keeping the dignity of this line going. I appreciate it. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
So beautiful.
Carol. Yes, indeed. And really, Brother Risley, if you don't mind, I'd like to just say this before we finish up and get ready to wrap up the program. We really literally have only a few minutes left, and we're going to try to get to the business at hand as well as take all the callers from around the country. I'm glad so many are on the line with us. I'm glad so many are listening. I'm glad that so many are interested in filling our vessels at the font of the spring of the wisdom of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as it flows through the faithful vessel of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and down into the clean glass provided by our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. And really, I know that you all join me in appreciating Brother Darius Muhammad for his continued striving. As he told me the other day, he's determined to keep the work of his wife alive and to do all that he can to advance it further. And that is the spirit that I hear in my brother and their family. So a special, special greeting to Brother Darius and the family there in Chicago and all around the country. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to make sure you all know that you can get the context and the content of Minister Ava's information. You can go to www.ministerava.com. We'll say it again right before we close the program, but I know you want to get it right now, or as they say in Pensacola, right now. You want to get it right now. So go to www.ministerava.com, and you can purchase books and master classes and continued studies with our beloved sister. And I have to tell you that the full replay of Minister Farrakhan's words on the Kanye West or Kyrie Irving controversy can be found right there at www.noi.org. You can go right there and you can tap on the links and hear exactly what the minister said.
Mm.
So there's more in tonight's program. I want to throw back to our principal guest tonight because he's given us so much and so many different ways for us to get this information. And you can go to him and get it at RidgleyMumin@gmail.com. That's RidgleyMumin@gmail.com. Dr. Ridgely, what is it that we need to carry away with us from tonight's discussion?
Oh, wow. Come on now. I don't know, brother. It's like, it's so many. I think I just love the callers calling in and thanking us for carrying on the mission that Minister Ava started with Elevated Places and her giving the people an opportunity to get some sanity on Thursday night. You know, I just look forward every Thursday to hear Minister Ava on Elevated Places and the callers, the guests. But then, you know, when she, I can see her flinging that headpiece, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
when
sir.
She decides,
yes,
when somebody says something stupid about the minister or she needs to straighten some things out, I can hear, I can see it through the phone. You know what I mean? Swinging that headpiece. Uh-oh, it's on now.
Uh-huh.
The lioness is out the cage. She's going to whoop some, you know what? Hit it. All praise is due to Allah. So we now have caught this snake going across the road. Meaning what?
Yes, sir.
These people who call themselves Jews, these people who call themselves the chosen of God, we caught them lying on our brother Tyree. All right? We caught them lying on our brother Ye. We caught them afraid of Chappelle. They couldn't touch him.
Sir.
He was so slick. The way he did it was so slick. They couldn't touch him. But they're trying to figure out a way to touch him. So everybody's looking at these people now. Say, what is wrong with these people? Well, Mr. Farrakhan and told you, there are many of them. Some of them are of the what? The synagogue of Satan.
That's right.
They worship Satan. Mr. Farrakhan told them at another time, we don't worship the same God. I'm sorry, sister.
Nope.
I said, you and the Jews should get together because y'all work. You know, he said, no, we don't worship the same God. We worship the God of righteousness. And they worship God of is Satan. That's who they worship. So, no, we don't go down with them like that. So I think from this, we should learn that Satan can run, but he cannot hide. He tried to bring up a false narrative and smoke screens and tricks to try to get us off his trail, but you wind up catching that tail, and we're going to throw that tail straight in hell into the fire.
That's right.
Along. But we're not going to do it physically. We're going to do it spiritually because the truth is like holy water on Dracula. He can't handle the truth. And we're going to put this wooden peg of truth in his heart, not a physical peg, but a mental word peg in his heart because he has exposed himself over and over. He wasn't finished with 911, so he had to come back with something else. He wasn't finished with that. But now he's coming now. He came with the COVID-19, the vaccines, and all this type of thing. But now they're coming with attacking our brother with a bold-faced lie. So we got the snake going across the road. And I'm in my pickup truck.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? When I see a snake going across the road, I check to see what it is. I don't mind if it's a king snake, okay? But if it's a rattlesnake, oh, man. My pickup truck got to do its job. So we have to what? Run over the liar with truth. Smash him up. And let's get our people separated from this beast so Allah can take him out and save the planet from being destroyed by this human thing, somewhat being, somewhat human, who now, because he can't have his way, wants to wipe everybody out.
My
so that's
goodness.
Why
I thought listening to you're listening to Dr. Ridgely Mukmin Muhammad. He is giving you the what Bobby Blue Bland used to call straight from the shoulder. He's bringing it to you straight. And, of course, everybody, get the keys to your pickup. We're about to ride through the snake pit. Get the keys to your pickup. We're about to ride down in the bottom 40 and handle some business with them rattlers, okay? Spiritually speaking, of course. Let's go back to our lines. The final caller tonight. You see what I did there, Verbally? Final caller? Yes. The final caller.
Okay.
He's with us from Memphis, Tennessee. She is the bulwark of consistency that keeps this program on the air, sounding as well as it sounds, and moving as far as fast as it's growing to move. It's Sister Donna Muhammad. Sister Donna from Memphis, go right ahead. You have something you wanted to share with Dr. Risley.
Yes, I had a comment. Assalamu alaikum, first of all. And I did want to, I too was so happy to hear from Brother Terrence this evening that he called in. And I know this is difficult, and I'm grateful to Sister Rona, the executive producer of Elevated Places Network for what, like a decade? And they support me. We're still one team. We're still the Elevated Places Network team. We may be working in different capacities, but we are a team, and I'm grateful for the both of them and for making it so easy for me to walk into this and the training that I received from Sister Rona. So I just wanted to say that. And, of course, I had the opportunity before to speak on Minister Ava, and I'm not going to get emotional, so I'm not going to say anything other than all praises due to Allah for this platform. But I wanted to just come real briefly, as you have read out of the book, I went back to The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 2. And I just wanted to share this with the callers briefly because, you know, we're constantly also told that Jewish people teach their children, never forget your history. They make the world bow down to remember the Holocaust, right? I mean, there's laws in places about it. But we're told so often, forget our history. Because why? It unveils, I didn't know this until I came into the Nation of Islam and started reading and studying. Because us forgetting ours also unveils the secret relationship between blacks and Jews. So I just wanted to share a quick snippet out of Volume 2 of that history. Now, as you have said, Dr. Ridley, these books came from their scholarship.
That's right.
Like the minister said, denounce your scholars, and then we will. So coming from their scholars, starting with Dr. Abraham Peck of the American Jewish Archives, this is what he wrote in his history. 1, 9 out of 10 Africans were shipped to Brazil. Jewish scholar Dr. Arnold Witt-Smith, early Jewish presence there. This is what he said. Besides their important position in the sugar industry and in tax farming, they dominated the slave trade. The buyers who appeared at the auctions were almost always Jews, and because of this lack of competitors, they could buy slaves at low prices. That's one of them. Here's another one. The synagogue in Brazil, and we know there's a large black population in Brazil. The synagogue in Brazil imposed a tax on its members' slaves, T-A-X. Slave auctions were postponed if they fell on a Jewish holiday. And the Jews of Suriname owned plantations with Hebrew names like Nakumu and Goshen. And they were, according to Dr. Marcus Arkin, they used many thousands of black slaves. Rabbi Herbert I. Bloom added that the slave trade was one of the most important Jewish activities. And in 1694, Jews owned 9,000 Africans, and by 1791, there were 100 Jewish mulattoes in Suriname, the unwanted result of the rape of African women by their Jewish enslavers. And last, I'm going to read one last one. It says, Jewish historian Dr. Cecil Roth, again, this is them bringing their own receipts, right? Dr. Cecil Roth wrote that the slave revolts in parts of South America were largely directed against Jews as being the greatest slaveholders of the region. Jews set up militias with the sole purpose of fighting the black maroons, the escaped Africans who were fighting to free their enslaved brethren. It was the Jewish militias that murdered the maroons and cut off their hands to award as trophies. See, they would want us to think that they're this separate group of white people that are so victimized, but they are not. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in his comments, what did he say? Who is owed the apology? You haven't apologized to us. The history is documented. This is why there's always the false call of anti-Semitism. This is why they don't want us to remember our history, because then it brings up that relationship and we will start to see them in a different light. We will see them for who they are. And so like our brother Dave Chappelle said, you know, what do you say, Brother Jamil? If it's black, it's a gang.
If it's black, it's a gang. He said, if it's Italians, it's a mob.
It's a mob.
But if it's Jews, it's a coincidence, and we are not to speak.
We are not to speak of it.
And
so I want to encourage us to go to thefinalcall.com and get these books and really see before we go out falsely crying anti-Semitism for what we don't even know. We just join in on a cry, and we want to say that they're victims. We're the victims that have never been apologized to. We're the ones that haven't received reparations. We're not the ones drawing, because the other thing that he said in his clip, which I love it, was when he said there's a lot of Jews in Hollywood. A lot. Then he said there's a lot of, just like there's a lot of black people in Ferguson, but we're not running anything. So that was my final comment, and I thank you for the opportunity to come before you as we come to the close of this really glorious program. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes. Wa alaykum
salam.
May I ask something?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, go ahead, sister. You want to say something?
If I may add something really brief to Sister Donna's point, and thank you, Sister Donna, in addition to getting the books, if you have podcasts, radio shows, people are talking about it and want speakers on this topic, you may go to noirg.org. You can go to the NOI, the Nation of Islam Research Group online, and request the speakers. There's Dr. Wesley Muhammad. There's, in addition to Dr. Arizzi, there's, of course, Brother Dimitrik, City Minister Dimitrik. There's Brother Ilya Rashad. I don't leave anyone out, so I won't start listing names, but you can go to noirg.org and request the brothers who have also done the research on this, brothers and sisters. Thank you, because Minister Ava's work is there, too. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, indeed. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful conversation tonight. Now I have to be the bad guy. Y'all know what that means. I have to close everything out. So now all the smiles can turn to frowns, and you can furrow your brows while you look at me. I don't care. I'm under instructions. I got to close out on time. But I tell you, we thank Allah for the wonderful spirit from Allah through the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, straight through the minister to Dr. Ava, to each and every one of us. We are in the classroom of the divine. Don't cut school. Don't ditch class. Don't play hooky from the school. Be on time. Get ready for our lesson, because it's almost time for graduation. Listen, tonight, Dr. Risley, I'm going to give this next 30 seconds to you for a closing comment, and then we'll make the business part of the announcement, and we'll be dismissed. Dr. Risley Muhammad.
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum. I just wanted to say this last thing. You know, the Jews claim to be our friends because they helped us to integrate America. Well, we didn't integrate America. We wound up getting lost in America. But they hold themselves apart, like the Pharisees, from the rest of the world, as if they are better. They will not claim their offspring as being one of theirs if it's done by a non-Jew. They won't even claim it. And here the Africans from Africa, from Ethiopia, from Eritrea, when they went to Israel, Israel went and picked them up and brought them into Israel, the Falasha Jews, and they would not accept them as being Jews. Made them have to become a Jew all over again. What type of crap is that? So these are the people that we must shun so that we can have peace amongst ourselves. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. I'll tell you. This has been the Elevated Places program with Dr. Risley, our special guest tonight. And we do not deal in hatred here. We bring receipts. If you're going to talk open, foolish hatred, you got to go somewhere else. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us that we don't hate any person for the sheer virtue of who they were chanced to be born. But the activity of people can make us hate those activities and mitigate, militate, organize to defend ourselves. It's true that not every member of the Jewish community is reprobate and evil, but there are enough evil actors in that community that they've spread all over the world, everything from fast food and heroin to porno and bootleg liquor. That's what we are fighting against. And the main thing that they use in that is trickery. So we fight against those things that are fighting against our life, and Allah is with us to win. Let's close out very briefly. I want to remind you, as I said before, I will give it to you at the end of the program, www.ministerava.com. Purchase her books and her masterclass curricula, and you can continue your studies with our beloved sister at www.ministerava.com. It may be that we're able to get some copies of Study Guide 22 over at www.ministerava.com, but we do know that Study Guide 22 at www.noi.org will be the way that we can get that all over our nation. What else can we get at www.noi.org? We can get the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's words on the Yay Kyrie controversy. That's right. Last Thursday, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke at 7 o'clock in the morning, cooking with gas, on an open grill, teaching the truth and making our word our bond. The time now has come for us to go. I'm Brother Jamil. I've been your host. I love you, and so does Allah more than any of us. May Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.